Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He writes to you and me under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says this: If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let us pray. Lord God, I ask that you would send your Spirit upon us to open our eyes to this text, that we may understand it and that we may receive it. I ask that you would assist my voice, that the words I speak may be nothing but your truth, that it would be beneficial for your people, that it would be encouraging. Lord, we cannot understand your word apart from the powerful working of your Holy Spirit. And so we need your Spirit this day, and we ask you for it through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we continue our series in Colossians, Paul has previously stated in chapter 2 that because we are united to Christ by faith, that means we have been buried with him in baptism. We have been buried with Christ in baptism. We have died to the elemental spirits of this world. We have died to false teaching. We have died to sin. We have died to our old selves. But not only have we been buried with Christ, but in verse 12 of chapter 2, we have also been raised with Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead has raised us from the dead through faith, through our union with Christ Jesus. God has made us alive in Christ. He's made you and me alive in Christ, just as he made Christ alive. And Paul picks up on that idea in our passage this morning. Remember, I've already said in a previous sermon that Paul frequently picks up on a word or theme from a previous section, and then he expands upon it. And this morning, Paul expands on what it means to have been raised with Christ to newness of life. What it means to have been raised with Christ to newness of life. And so this morning, we're going to see the things above. That's the title of our sermon this morning, the things above. And the first thing we see in verse 1 is the things above in our actions. The things above in our actions. Paul begins this section with a conditional clause. He begins with the word if. And in the Greek, this is constructed to where Paul is assuming that what he says in the if clause is true. If then you have been raised with Christ, and Paul is assuming that that is true for you and me, because he's speaking to the church, he's speaking to the people where he has heard a good report of their love for God and love for the saints from Epaphras. So he's assuming that the church is converted believers who have been united to Christ by faith. And if they have been united to Christ by faith, then they have been raised with Christ, as he has previously said. So he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, if it's true, and it is true, if you have believed upon him by faith alone, then you are to do something. In light of the theological truth of union with Christ, and especially the raising up of us to newness of life, we are to seek the things that are above. That's what Paul says. Seek the things that are above if you have been raised with Christ. Now notice that this action is a result of salvation. It's not something that we do in order to be saved. If you are united with Christ by faith, then you are to seek the things that are above. This is a command for Christians, and Christians only, because only they have been raised with Christ by faith in Him. And this word seek is a command. We are commanded to seek the things above, and we are to continually be seeking the things that are above. It signifies continual action. This isn't just something we do when we repent and turn to Christ and are converted. This is not a one-time event. This is to characterize your life and my life. Every day, we are to constantly be seeking the things that are above. And he gives further explanation as to these things that are above. I mean, there's many things above us, right? The ceiling is above me, and the sky is above me, the trees, the birds are above me. What's he talking about? What are these things that are above? He clarifies that. The things that are above are where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Since you and I as believers share in Christ's resurrected life, our actions are to be centered on Him because Christ's interests are now our interests as He has taken us up into Himself and united us to Himself through faith. The New Testament commentator F.F. Bruce says this, quote, "Our mind, our attitude, our ambition, our whole outlook must be characterized by our living bond with the ascended Christ," end quote. Jesus himself uses this same word in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, the world and the life that is to come, that awaits the consummation of all things, that blessed immortality where we rule and reign with Christ forever with Him, is to guide our actions in the here and now. Where Christ is, and that future life, the life of complete perfection, the life of sinless glory, is to guide our actions in the here and now. And of course, we fall short of this, do we not, each and every day? Our lives are here in a fallen, sinful, dark world, but nevertheless, we are to continually seek the things that are above. We are to be guided by that world that is to come, that is perfect and sinless and full of the light of the glory of God. Matthew Henry says, quote, "We must make heaven our scope and our aim." We must make heaven our scope and our aim, end quote. So what are these things above? Paul doesn't really define it for us here in this section, but it's seeking Christ and out of that living for Christ. That's what these things above are. Seeking Christ, seeking more of Him, communicating with Him in prayer, reading His word, seeking Christ Himself, clinging to His promises in the gospel, and then living out of that closeness and that communion with Him. In other words, to put it another way, it's living out God's kingdom in the midst of Satan's kingdom, this world, so that our light shines before men in a world of darkness. That's what it means, living out God's kingdom in the midst of Satan's kingdom. Our actions are to be continually transformed and brought into conformity with Christ and His will and His desires, so that as we know and experience Him more and more by His word, and as the Holy Spirit works in us to convict us more and more of our sin and to transform us and to conform us to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as God's word and His Spirit does that, our actions are transformed more and more into fruit-bearing actions. and our motivations are more brought into line with God's will, that we do these things out of love for God and a zeal for His glory. We will seek justice more and more in line with God's word rather than the world's definition of justice. We will seek righteousness more and more in line with God's character and kingdom rather than the so-called righteousness of the world's kingdom. We will seek love for God and love for our neighbor as God desires us and calls us to do. And we are to do this continually, seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. When we are seeking to live our lives based on the things above, when we are seeking the things that are above, that's when we can pay evil with good. That's when we can turn the other cheek. That's when we can bless those who curse us. We do that because our minds are stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about our rights, not about our vengeance, not about getting what we deserve, not about repaying evil with evil, but because our minds are stayed upon Christ, we look to Him and we ask that trite statement that was so popular several decades ago, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do in this situation? When we are seeking to live our lives based on the things above, that's when we can raise our children to the glory of God and use God's word to reveal their sin to them and their need of Jesus as the only Savior of mankind. That's when we can work and perform our jobs. Whatever vocation God has called us to do, we can work for His glory. We work unto the Lord, not as unto man. Yes, we have earthly bosses, but our ultimate boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are united to Christ by faith, that is when we can still render praise to God after receiving a cancer diagnosis. That is when we can hope in the resurrection when dealing with the death of a family member. We are to live in a heavenly-minded manner in every aspect of our lives, in every circumstance, whether that circumstance is good or bad. If it is true that you have been raised with Christ by faith in Him. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, then Paul and the Holy Spirit through Paul commands us to continually seek the things above, to live our lives out of being heavenly minded, spiritual minded. So that's the things above in our actions. In verse 2, we see the things above in our heart. The things above in our heart. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You and I are embodied souls. We have a spirit and we have a body, or we have a soul. Soul and spirit are synonymous. We have a soul and we have a body. And they are united into one person, us. Or to put it another way, we have an inner person and an outer person. And just as our outer person, our actions are to be lived out in the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus by being raised with Christ, just as Christ had a glorified and risen body, there was something different about His resurrected body than there was about His body before the resurrection. So you and I are to live differently after our conversion to Christ, but also our inner person is to be transformed and conformed. Our mind, as Paul puts it here, it's synonymous with heart, which is the seat of our will and our emotions and our affections. So not only externally are we to seek the things that are above, but internally we are to set our internal person, our minds, on things that are above. And again, this is a command. And again, it's a continual action. Set your minds continually on a daily basis on things that are above, not on things that are here on earth. So our hearts, our desires, our wills, our thoughts, our attitudes, our ambitions, our outlook on life, our disposition, our conscience, all of that is to be set on the things above, where Christ is seated, ruling and reigning as the divine sovereign with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In the context of this letter of Paul, the false teachers who are trying to gain a foothold within the church are trying to keep the church earthly minded. They're trying to keep the church focused on the here and now, not where Christ is seated in the heavenly places. Salvation is found by Christ plus adherence to these ceremonial regulations of the Old Testament, plus worshiping angels, plus appeasing demonic spirits, plus living an ascetic life, extreme asceticism. These teachers were implying that that the body, all matter, all that which is physical is evil, and one needs to escape the physical by focusing on angels and demons as well as Christ Jesus. But the physical and the spiritual have both been created by God. And our purpose is not to escape the physical as if the body is a prison and our souls are seeking to escape the jail cell like you find in Buddhism or like you find in Gnosticism or Platonism. Our purpose is to have the entirety of ourselves, body and soul, focused on Christ and Christ alone. And in this verse, in verse 1 is talking about our outer selves, our actions. Verse 2 is talking about our inner selves. Our inner disposition is to be focused on Christ. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your inner person, your desires, your ambitions, your attitudes, that's where your heart will be, wherever your treasure is. And Christ wants you and me to treasure Him in our heart and to have our hearts, to have our inner person transformed and conformed to His likeness. What He cares about, what He desires, He wants you and me to care about and desire. Just as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom come. I want your kingdom to come. And whatever that looks like, your will be done. We are praying that our will would be that God's will would be done, not my will. This is what it is to set our minds on the things above. His goals are to be our goal. His thoughts, our thoughts. His attitude, our attitude. We are to keep a loose grip on the things of this earth that God has blessed us with. We're to hold them loosely, but we're to cling to Christ tightly. We're to cling to Christ tightly. As Jim Elliot famously quipped, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. I'll say that again. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep. And in Elliot's case, he gave his life. And all of us are going to die one day. We cannot keep our lives. We cannot keep ourselves from dying. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. We will never lose Christ. We are to be mindful of our spiritual poverty and continual need for forgiveness and the intercession of Jesus Christ. We are to consider others more highly than ourselves. We are to love and bless and forgive rather than to hate and curse and hold a grudge. We are to be patient with one another. We are to be gentle with one another. And yet there is a battle going on as the earthly things try to bring us down and they try to distract us from Christ. There's this battle, there's this tension between the things below here on earth and the things above where Christ is seated. So we have to constantly seek. We have to constantly set our minds. We have to constantly come back to the Word of God. Constantly come back to Christ. Constantly come to God in prayer. Constantly come to God through corporate worship, private worship, and public worship. It takes effort. But we have been raised with Christ. And we have His Spirit dwelling within us. So we have all that we need to expend ourselves in this spiritual battle. And we're called to constantly pay attention to this. Let me give you an example of one way of being earthly minded. Current events. I don't know who, but I'm willing to bet that some of you leave Fox News or CNN or CNBC on 24/7. Whatever news channel you prefer. And because of that, your minds are filled with fear-mongering. What do you see on the news constantly? Wars, hurricanes, wildfires, pandemics, civil unrest, election worries, negative election ads. The news today is designed to instill fear, worry, and anxiety in you. It tells you about everything that's bad with this sinful, fallen, dark world. It's telling you everything that's wrong with this world, but it's not telling you anything about the things of God. You're leaving the news on 24/7. When you have access to God's word 24/7, you're filling yourself up with the words of man rather than filling yourself up with the words of God. You're filling yourself up with the things here below rather than the things above. And that's going to affect you. You become more caught up in the earthly empire, the earthly kingdom that is America, which one day is going to pass away. I don't know when. It may last until Jesus comes back, but when Jesus comes back, America's going to be gone. Or it may pass away before he comes back. But the news gets you more caught up in this earthly nation, and you neglect the kingdom of God, which will never pass away. You're filling yourself with things that are earthly-minded rather than heavenly-minded, and you're not being brought up, you're being brought down. It is wearisome to our souls to be bombarded 24/7 with constant negativity of all that is wrong with this world. It brings us down. Is it any wonder that people are filled with angst, or worry, anxiety, depression, and fear? It's because they're constantly putting these types of worldly things into themselves through their eyes and through their ears, which goes into your heart, and it affects the way you think and the way you feel. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What are you putting into your inner person through your eyes and through your ears? You can either put into yourself the light and truth of God, which will cause you to be a spiritually fit person, or you can put in the things of this world and falsehood and everything that's wrong, and that's going to bring spiritual decay and spiritual rot to your soul. God's word repeatedly tells us, do not worry, do not fear. Jesus himself, as he's walking on the water, do not be afraid. Take heart, it is I, Jesus, the Lord God. You don't have to have angst because God is in control and we can rest in his sovereignty. Let me encourage you. We all have to go to the doctor's office or the dentist's office, and they always have the TV on, do they not? And usually your wait is anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes, sometimes even longer than that. Let me encourage you. Instead of watching Chip and Joanna Gaines flip houses or whatever news station they have on or using that to fiddle and check your email, use that time reading your Bible if you have a Bible app on your phone, or better yet, take your Bible with you. Carry a physical copy around with you, or keep a copy in your car. Work on that Bible verse you're trying to memorize. Read the next section of your Bible reading plan, or read just a little bit of it, and reflect and think about and meditate on what you've just read from the Word of God. Fill yourself with those things that are above where Christ is seated. And have your desires, your outlook, your emotions, your feelings repeatedly brought back to the mirror of God's word. God's word is a mirror that reflects where we are in conformity through his indwelling spirit and where we are out of alignment, and where we need to be brought back to his word. It's a mirror for our souls. The Holy Spirit is not going to conform and transform you into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the medium of television, through the medium of Fox News or CNBC or MSNBC or CNN. He's not going to conform you and transform you through those means. The Holy Spirit is going to conform and transform you more and more into Christ's likeness through the medium of the Word of God, and through corporate worship, and through prayer, and through private worship. And Paul, both verbs, we're called to do this on a continual basis. We're to constantly be seeking and constantly setting our minds. So whether you're a believer at 8 or a believer at 80, if you're in Christ by faith, you are told to set your minds on the things that are above, where Christ is seated. There's not an age minimum or maximum. Well, I'm 85, I guess I don't have to do this anymore. No. This is to be characteristic of our life while we have breath. Like a compass that always points true north, so our souls and our actions are always to point to the things above in heaven, where Christ is. And we know that we fall short of that, don't we? So this passage also calls us back to the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sins, even the sin of falling short of not constantly seeking Him. But we are called to do that. Finally, in verses 3 and 4, we see the things above and the end of time. Paul, in verse 3, tells us the reason for seeking the things that are above. He says, "For, because, here's the reason why you are to set and to seek. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." What are you talking about, you have died? I'm breathing. I'm alive. What are you talking about? Spiritually speaking, we have died to the old self. We have died to the ways of the kingdom of this world. We have died to the ways of the evil one. We are dead to this world. And so because we have died, spiritually speaking, we are to seek the things that are above. We are to set our minds on the things above because our life is hidden with Christ in God. We are to be heavenly minded in action and attitude because we have spiritually died with Christ by being united to Him in faith to the things of this world, this old age which is passing away. And our newness of life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, that in Christ the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world is dead to me. We are dead to this world, and we are to put to death the things of the world that remain within us so that Christ might live more and more through us. Doug Moo says, quote, "This is necessary to do because our union with Christ means we no longer belong to the realm of this earth, but to the heavenly realm. And it is possible to do this because our union with Christ severs us from the tyranny of the powers of this world and provides us with all the power needed to live a new life." End quote. Your life and my life is hidden with Christ in God. There's a double security here. It's hidden in Christ, and Christ is with God the Father. So our true lives are protected within the life and the sphere and the activity of the Holy Trinity. The Old Testament uses this concept of hiddenness to talk about God's protection of His people. We sung it in the psalm that we just sang, Psalm 27. He says, "He will hide me." There's that hiddenness. "He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me." There's that hiddenness. "Under the cover of His tent." It's protection. It's security. If you are in Christ, if you have been raised with Christ, you will never suddenly find yourself outside of Christ, because Christ keeps your life. You cannot lose your salvation because you didn't gain it to begin with. It was Christ who gave you the faith to believe through the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who regenerated your dead and blind and sinful heart. It also means that we share in the life of Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 20, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." The life of Christ, who is with God, seated at his right hand with all majesty, glory, dominion, power, and authority, his life pulsates through our spiritual veins, through the indwelling of the person of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Christ's life is in us. And he who is the resurrection and the life gives life to our souls and life to our bodies. But this hiddenness means a third thing, not just that our life is protected and secure in Christ, and not just that we share in life with Christ, but it also means that the world of unbelievers is never going to understand us. We are going to be a peculiar people to the world. God's word says unbelievers cannot understand the things of God, right? They do not understand Christ. They do not understand the life that we have and the life that we live in Christ Jesus. So they're going to think us strange. They're going to think us peculiar. They're going to want nothing to do with us. Because our life is hidden with Christ. We have died to the things of this world. Unbelievers have their minds set on this world and this world alone. Unbelievers, the major worldview of people today is that this life is all there is, and then you're gone. So eat, drink, and be merry, and do all that you want now. Have fun while you still can, because after this comes nothing. That's the outlook. That's the worldview of people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that more awaits us. We know that this life is not all that there is, because we have been both buried with Christ and we have been raised to newness of life with Christ by the Holy Spirit giving us the faith to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of these verbs in verse 3 are in the past tense. We have died. We died with Christ when he was hanging on the cross, because we were being united to him by the faith given to us from the Holy Spirit. Our lives have been hidden with Christ at the cross. That's when it began. But the hiddenness of our true spiritual life continues into this present moment. There's ongoing effects of this newness of life. We've died to the old. Our true life is hidden with Christ and God at this moment. And in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, so we're talking about future glory, then you will also appear with him in glory. This is talking about Christ's second coming. When Christ returns for those who have been hidden in him, kept secure by the power of God. And so we see that from beginning to end, Christ is our life for true believers, for those who have placed their faith and trust and rest in Christ alone for their salvation. Christ is our life. It begins with him and his perfect life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And faith unites us to him so that we participate in him in all of these things. We have shared in his perfect life, death, resurrection, and one day we're going to share in his ascension as we will be with him in glory when he comes back for us. But we do not see our lives now. They are hidden, right? We're not with Christ in glory yet. That comes, that awaits us in the future. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will also appear with him in glory. And so Christ is our life from beginning to end, so that he might be all in all. And the wonderful and amazing thing to meditate on is that he allows you and me, rebels and traitors, to participate in his life. It's the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. He allows us who rail against him, who were born in sin, conceived in iniquity. He allows us to participate in the newness of life and the life of that world which is to come. He says we can experience and share in that life even now. It's not all future. As we continually to seek the things that are above, as we continually set our minds on the things that are above. And so that which was once dim, we will see brightly. The veil will be removed from our eyes so that that which is hidden will now be revealed. Just as Jesus veiled his glory until his transfiguration and his ascension. The glory of God was veiled so that he didn't walk around with a bright light shining around him, so bright that people couldn't even look upon him. But one day, he will appear in glory, and you and I will appear with him, and we will be openly vindicated. And the world that mistreated us, the world that hated us, the world that misunderstood us, the world that did not listen to our message will see that we were right. They should have listened to us. Because we are in Christ. And all these things that we are commanded to set our minds on and to seek, all these things we will enjoy fully and finally and perfect and completely and eternally. Too often today, we Christians tend to separate our present life from the life to come. We bifurcate them. This is our life now, and this is our life to come in future glory. But scripturally speaking, and here's just one example in Paul's writings, the life to come is already in the here and now in part. There's an overlap. There's not a bifurcation. There's an overlap. We now experience in part, in a dim way, the newness of life that's going to be fully ours and brightly ours in the world to come. We've been raised with Christ in the here and now, and our lives are hidden with him so that even now we have a partial experience of the kingdom of God. But we only have that as we are setting our minds on the things that are above, as we are seeking the things that are above rather than the things here below. It's like Peter when he was walking on the water toward Jesus Christ. You remember that story from the Gospels, do you not? Peter is able to calmly and to supernaturally walk on water as long as he keeps his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But as soon as he takes his eyes off of Christ, what happens? He looks at the storms around him. He looks at the waves around him. He looks at his circumstances. He looks at the here and now, not to Christ. And what does he begin to do? He begins to sink. So when you and I have our mindset here on the things of this earth, spiritually speaking, we're going to sink. Our souls are going to sink. But as long as we keep our eyes on Christ, as long as we are heavenly minded, we will walk by faith. We will walk in the supernatural peace and comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of whatever God sees fit for us to walk through in the circumstances and trials and troubles of this life. We'll walk by faith rather than by sight. But as soon as we take our eyes off the things above and set them on the things below, we move from being heavenly minded to earthly minded. And our flesh and our hearts begin to fail and sink within us. We no longer walk by faith. We're walking by sight. And we lose the peace and the comfort and the assurance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to fret. We begin to worry. We begin to run around like a chicken with his head cut off. Full of anxiety. But as Dr. Steve Lawson puts it, quote, God wants you to live a supernatural life, not a natural life. God wants you to live a supernatural life, not a natural life. And we do this by setting our minds on the things above, seeking the things above, storing up treasure in heaven while we await the revelation of our true life, who is Christ, and the revelation of our true life, which is hidden in Christ. So that in him will be all the praise, the majesty, and glory. And we will say, it is all of Christ. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we confess, if we are honest with ourselves and with you, that here is yet another area where we fall short. Lord, it is so easy for us to be distracted and drawn away and enticed by the things of this world. It's so easy to give in to the temptations of our heart. So Lord God, we once again come before you through the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking your forgiveness, where we have set our minds on the things here below on earth rather than setting them on above, where Christ is ruling and reigning with you, seated with you, interceding for you. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with more of your Holy Spirit, that we may put to death more and more this old person that remains within us, that wants us to focus on the things below and does not want us to focus on the things that are above. Lord, help us to put it to death so that we may be more heavenly minded, so that we may put into practice the principles of your kingdom and follow in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Be conformed and transformed to his image and to his likeness, so that we may give you even more praise, give you even more glory, worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask this through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen.